Good to see you this morning. Let me say this. Get your flashlights out. If you have your Bibles, turn to Habakkuk with me this morning. Habakkuk, I want to talk with you about faith in the dark. Faith in the dark. Now, I'm not a prophet. I want you to understand that. I'm a preacher. God is called to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. I am not a prophet. But I want to ask you a question. What if I were to stand before you this morning and you see how good our stock market has been doing over the last several months? It's been just looking prettier and prettier. What if I stood before you this morning and I told you that next week it was going to crash and it was going to hit 100, from 13,000 to 100. How would that make you feel? Devastate you a little bit. You'd think, first of all, well, you've lost your mind, preacher. It's not going to drop that much. And then what if something followed, like someone being moved into our neighborhoods maybe we're not aware of? They begin to attack us from within. What if our neighborhoods began to be kind of ransacked by someone who didn't believe the things about Jesus that you and I believe? And then what if that was followed by another country invading us from the outside? And things just continued to escalate. They got worse and they got worse and they got worse. And it starts with a stock market crash, and then the cyber bullies are going to come in and they're going to attack. And then our neighborhoods are going to be ransacked by people who have been living among us, but we didn't recognize who they were. And then another country is going to come in and attack us. And then on top of all of that, what if I said, not only are they going to attack us, but then they're going to put us in chains, they're going to put us on ships, and they're going to send us to a foreign country to work as slaves, to live as slaves. Now, if I were to say something like that, you would probably say, preacher, I really wish you wouldn't even talk like that. And then some of you are saying, preacher, I think you've lost your mind. But as you look at the Word of God this morning in Habakkuk, I want you to know that's exactly the word that was received from Habakkuk. God spoke to Habakkuk, and that's what he heard. He was asking God. Habakkuk is it's a different book. Three chapters, but it's different in that this prophet of God was told this word, and it was really just a dialogue between Habakkuk and God. It never went out to the people. He was asking this. He had some questions. He wanted to understand what was going on in the country that he lived in the world that surrounded him. Why were all of these things happening? It was confusing to him, and he wanted to make better sense of it. And then all of the other prophets that we see, all of the other books of the Bible, when God talks to those prophets, they would go out and they would preach. Last week we were in Jeremiah, and God told Jeremiah, I want you to stand in the gate of the church. And as the people come in, I want you to declare to them the word that I have shared to you. And now we get to Habakkuk this morning, but it seems like the world literally is just, it's going crazy. And as you begin to look at these and you think about some of these and you're thinking, yeah, preacher, let's don't talk about that kind of thing this morning. Let's don't talk about that because it makes me sad. And we don't want to be sad, do we? But as you look at the world around us today, it seems like this is a possibility. It seems like more and more things are happening, that more and more of our freedoms are being taken away as men and women who love Jesus, as men and women who worship the one true King. More and more of our freedoms are beginning to be taken away, and you've seen that. You've witnessed it over the last several decades. Can't pray in schools anymore. We can't do this. We can't even say the Pledge of Allegiance. So many things that we can't do anymore, and more can't even have Bible studies in homes because they want to tax us in California. They want to tax us because too many people are gathering together. It's a site of worship. And so a lot of different things are beginning to compound in the world that we live in today. And Habakkuk really is a word for today. It was spoken to a man about 3,000 years ago, but it applies to us today. And we're going to talk about some of these things. There's a couple of things that I want to share with you concerning the Word of God. And I don't want you to get down this morning, because really, as we look at the Word of God and it looks like there's a lot of despair, what I want you to know is there's also a lot of things to be joyous about. And so with that, I want to ask you to honor God by standing at the reading of His Word. Habakkuk chapter 1, verses 1 through 6 is where we'll be right now. But for the message, we'll be through the whole book. The burden which the prophet Habakkuk saw. O Lord, how long shall I cry, and you'll not hear? Even cry out to you violence, and you will not save. Why do you show me iniquity and cause me to see trouble? For plundering and violence are before me. Their strife and contention arises. Therefore the law is powerless and justice never goes forth. For the wicked surround the righteous. Therefore perverse judgment proceeds. Look among the nations and watch. Be utterly astonished. This is God's reply to Habakkuk. Look among the nations and watch. Be utterly astonished, for I'll work a work in your day which you would not believe though it were told you. For indeed, I am raising up the Chaldeans, a bitter and hasty nation which marches through the breadth of the earth to possess dwelling places that are not theirs. Will you pray with me? Father in heaven, today in the mighty name of Jesus, as we read your word, we see what was burdening Habakkuk. Lord, I ask this morning that we would even begin to be burdened by the things that we see in our world. Lord, in the world around us. But also, Lord, that we would be able to take great joy, not in the things that's going on around us, but that we would be able to take great joy in you, knowing that you are a God who saves. And so, Father, today, I just pray that as your word goes forth, that it'll not return void. Father, that you would bind Satan far from us and that you would keep us from the evil one. Lord, that you would loose your spirit this morning to speak to our hearts in a powerful way. And Lord, right now, we want to thank you in advance for what you're going to do in our hearts today. And we praise you and we ask these things in Jesus' magnificent name. Amen. Thank you, Jeff, for this water. So, as you read back, how many of you have read Habakkuk and you wonder, really, what's going on? Because it's a really depressing book when you read it. And there are some hints of joy. I want to tell you, there's some hints of excitement. There's some hints of seeing God do some amazing things, aren't there, Miss Jerry? And those are the things that we're going to look at here in a few minutes. But there's a couple of things that I want to share with you this morning concerning Habakkuk, concerning the Word of God. And number one thing that I want to share with you, if you have your bulletins, you can turn over and follow along. You can fill in those blanks that you have there. But the number one thing that I want to share with you this morning is this. God doesn't always do what we expect. God doesn't always do what we expect. And here's what was going on. This is this dialogue between Habakkuk and God. And they were carrying on a conversation, just like if you and I were to be standing face to face and we were talking back and forth to one another. Habakkuk had some questions for God, and God responded, and he spoke to him, and he told him what was going on. And some of the questions that he had as he was asking, he said, "Why aren't you listening to my prayers, God?" I know we do that occasionally, don't we? We cry out, "Lord, why don't you hear me? Why aren't you listening to me?" And I want you to know that it isn't that God isn't listening. Maybe it's that you aren't listening to his answer. But here it is. It says, "Well, why aren't you listening to my prayers?" And he says, "How long are the wicked going to prosper?" That's what he's saying. He's asking God these things. And then as we look at the word Habakkuk all by itself, I want you to know that his name means to wrestle with. So Habakkuk, he was wrestling, he was struggling, he was burdened, and he was crying out to God. He was burdened so much so as he saw the things that were going on in his country that it broke his heart, that it literally weighed him down to the point that he took it to God and he said, "Oh Lord, how long shall I cry? And you'll not hear." And I know there's times in our lives when we feel like we've been crying out to God and God isn't listening for one reason or another. But it says he even cried out, violence, and you'll not save. Why do you show me iniquity and cause me to see trouble? For plunder and violence are before me. The wicked, they were prospering. Those who were in the land, they had even turned from God and they had begun to follow false prophets and false gods and they had begun to live for themselves rather than living for God. And this was a concern for this prophet of God. This was a concern. His heart was breaking as he began to witness these things. And I know that sometimes it's difficult even for you and I as God's children to see some of the calamity that's going on in the world that we live in today. But the first thing that I want you to know is God doesn't always answer or God doesn't always do what you and I expect God to do. See, the one thing that I need you to know about God is God is perfect. And in God's perfection, he has set an order to things. And according to the Word of God, as you look into it, into its great detail for our lives, from front to back, what we begin to see is this. That from front to back, beginning with Genesis all the way through to Revelation, God works the details out. He doesn't always do it the way you and I want him to, the way you and I expect him to, but he works the details out. And you know, there may be some questions that you have about God that you want to question him about. Maybe you've been afraid to ask him some of these questions. And some of the questions may be like, why did my loved one have to die? Why do babies have to be murdered by madmen? Why did this have to happen in my life? Why did I have to experience all of this heartache and pain? Lord, right now, why am I hurting so badly? And you have all of these questions, and they're balled up inside of you, and you've never asked God why. Well, I want you to know that it's okay for you to ask God. It's really okay for you to ask God, but in the process of you asking God, listen to me clearly, you've got to be able to trust God. And trusting is many times the most difficult thing because it requires waiting. God doesn't always answer the way we expect. And so there are a couple of things that I want to share with you in the process of us asking God some questions. This dialogue kind of can be summarized between Habakkuk and God. Habakkuk says, God, why don't you do something? God replies, I am doing something. And to which Habakkuk then responds, but that's not fair. I don't like what you're doing. I don't like the way you're doing it. And to which God says, too bad. I'm God and you're not. So that really kind of sums it up. I want you to know, but then we move on, and here's what we do. We ask God why, and God often answers, watch. See, here's the great thing about God. He's doing something in our lives. He's doing something in our midst. God is always at work around us. There's never a time when God is not at work. God is a mighty, powerful, wonder-working God, and he's always at work on our behalf. Can I get an amen? Amen. Always at work on our behalf. The problem with us is sometimes we don't walk by faith. We really want to walk by sight. We want to see what God is doing, to which I want to share with you this morning the thing that you and I need to do is look around because God is at work. We need to look in the areas that God is already working and we'll see that he's up to something great. That he's up to something wonderful, that he's up to something marvelous. Even in Habakkuk's day, he didn't understand what was going on, but God was up to something, and he even said, I'm going to show you something that you would not believe if I would have told you. I've got to not only tell you, but I have to show you as well. And you and I are like that, aren't we? We have to be able to see it seems like, to trust that God is capable and able. But I want you to know, God calls us in his word to walk by faith. And so we ask, why, God? And here's what God says. He says, watch. Just watch. God's up to something. God's up to something in your life. I don't know what it is, but God's up to something in your life. And I want to share with you that it's up to you to wait on God, but to watch and see what God is trying to do. And then as you watch for God and you continue to ask questions, why, Lord? I'm telling you, you got to continue to watch because God is up to something. How long shall I cry and you'll not hear, even cry out violence and you'll not say? This was a question. And so he was wrestling with God. His name, remember, it means to wrestle with. And he was wrestling with God. And these things were burdening him as he was a witness. He saw the way his nation was responding to God. They had turned their back. But then violence had come into the land as well. And he was seeing and witnessing all of these things. And then God responds. He said, look among the nations and watch and be utterly astonished. God was fixing to do something. He was fixing to get his people's attention. He was going to get his children's attention. And I think today, as you begin to try and equate that with all of the things that you and I see going on in the world that we live in, listen to me. God is trying to get our attention. God wants us to see what's going on. And I want you to know that he doesn't want you to be fearful. He wants you to be faithful. And so we ask why, and God just says, he says, watch. And that's the first thing. The second thing is this. You and I have to understand that we live by God's promises and not his explanations. You know, one thing that we fall short in doing, we're really miserable at, terrible at, as God's children, living by God's promises. I'm going to be honest with you. As God's children, we don't do a good job with that. We really don't do a good job with living and trusting the Word of God. We don't. We're so good at taking things into our own hands. And we talked about that in Sunday school a little bit this morning. We get to a point, you have to trust. There are limitations in our lives, right? And so we have to draw a line somewhere in the sand, this boundary. And then when we get up to that line, this is as far as our limitations go. But we're so good at wanting to step across and continue to try and handle it all on our own, ourselves. But you have limitations and you get to this point, you've got to stop and you have to allow God to take over. God has to be the one that fulfills the call in your life. God has to be the one that answers the prayers in your life. God has to be the one that saves your child that you've been praying for. God has to be the one that changes the minds of the ones that you've been praying for. God has to be the one. And so your limitations, you're limited. You can share. You can pray. You can cry out. But there are limitations. And you get to the point right here where you've got to allow God to do the rest. And we really don't do good with that. And so we cry out. We fuss. We get mad. Habakkuk chapter 3 verse 2 says this. He says, O Lord, I have heard your speech and I was afraid. O Lord, revive your work in the midst of the years. In the midst of the years, make it known. In wrath, remember mercy. He said, your fame and your fortune, your name is known. We understand who you are. We have seen your work. We have heard of your testimony, the miracles that you've performed on behalf of your children. We've heard about these things. And then he says, but remember mercy. And what we need to do is you and I, as God's children, we don't need to continue to expect that God needs to explain himself over and over and over again. What we need to do is trust God's promises that are in his word. God's got a word for his children, friends. And I want to tell you, through Jesus Christ, I am a child of God. And through Jesus Christ, you are a child of God. If you have confessed Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you're a child of God. You belong to him. You're in his family. And I believe with all of my heart, God only desires the best for his family. And we take things in our own hands time after time after time after time. I can do it. I can do it. Let me have that back, God, because I don't see that you've done anything with it. And God just says, watch. You say, why? I'm not seeing you do anything, but God says, watch. So you've got to be faithful. And I draw that line in the sand, and then you've got to get to this point where you, right here, you understand your limitations. God has to do the rest. But you've got to let Him. So the second thing that I want to share with you this morning, we're talking about God and His love. We're talking about how wonderful a God He is. But understand, even in the midst of His love, listen to me, He's also a God of judgment. And He desires to get our attention. Our attention, His children. Sometimes when your child acts up, they disobey, they're not being obedient, they're not being respectful and honorable, you want to get their attention, don't you? And we are God's child through Jesus Christ. God sometimes just has to get our attention. And we've got to listen. And so the second thing is, by faith, you can move from worry to worship. We've got to do that, friends. By faith, we need to move from worry to worship. Because I understand, just like there were some things going on right here in Habakkuk's life. Matter of fact, chapter 2, verse 4, this is what Habakkuk says. He says, behold, the proud, his soul is not upright in him, but the just shall live by faith. And so as you begin to understand what's going on, three times in the New Testament, the just shall live by faith, three times. But it originated right here with Habakkuk. The just shall live by faith. And so by faith, you and I can move from worry to worship. And all of the things that you have going on in your life that are heartbreaking, all the burdens that weigh you down as you wrestle with God, these burdens, they are heavy at times, and we continue to carry these things. And so quickly, there are three things that I want to share with you as we talk about being able to move from worry to worship. And the first thing is these very personal questions that you need to be able to ask yourself, but then you need to be able to answer them. Are you fearful about the uncertain times that we live in right now? Are you? In Habakkuk's time, you begin to see as you read these, just three chapters, really it's only about four pages long, 3.5 pages long. Read it, and then you'll have a better understanding of what Habakkuk and God are talking about, that correspondence, that dialogue there. And you'll have a better picture, this mental picture, but his heart was breaking because of the neglect he thought God was giving His people, His nation. And he was brokenhearted over that. And he said, why, Lord, have I cried out and you not listened? And I know there are times in your life where you've cried out and you've wondered, why, Lord, do I cry out and you do not listen? But this is the moment in our life where by faith you need to move from worry to worship. Even in Job this morning, he was talking, and then as he was mourning over the loss that he had experienced, do you remember what was going on in Job's in Sunday school this morning? You remember what was going on in Job's life? The devil and all of the band of the sons of God had to go present themselves to God, and the devil was there among them, and God questions the devil, and he says, where have you been? And the devil responds, and he says, I've been going to and fro on the face of the earth. So he'd been seeing and witnessing a lot of things, and you've got to understand, God knew what was going on. He was able to see what the devil was up to. He understood where Satan was and what he stood for. Don't think he didn't know, but he questioned him, and he said, what have you been doing? He said, I've been going to and fro. And so then he questions. He says, on all the face of the earth, as you've been going back and forth, all you've really seen is chaos, wickedness, because you've caused that. You placed that seed, that sin seed in the garden, and ever since then, things have just been chaotic. But have you noticed? Have you noticed that out of all of the people on the face of the earth, have you noticed Job? He's a man of uprightness. He's a man of righteousness. He's a man that seeks to honor me with his life. And then the devil, and you know, the devil deceives. He's deceptive. That rhetorical question. I was there this morning. I knew it was a rhetorical statement, but I had to ask, what is that? I'm trying to think, what is that? God already knew the answer. God already knew the answer. But he asked it, and then the devil already knew the answer, but he asked it. Those were rhetorical statements there. And so the devil says, does he really fear you? Or is it because you have blessed him with all of his heart's desires? In the process of that conversation, Satan tries to convince God that the only reason Job was faithful was because he had been blessed. But really, what was going on, I think, I shared this with the Sunday school class, I believe that God was up to something. I believe God wanted to put another one to hit him upside the head, wanted to hit the devil upside the head. He said, out of all of these, I want you to see this one man. You don't have them all. There's one that's left, and he loves me, and he worships me and only me. And so in the process of everything that's going on, God allows the devil to unleash hell in Job's life. And he takes from him, and he takes from him, and he takes from him, and everything that he took from him. Job never cursed God. Even when his family and his friends were trying to get him to die and curse God and die, he remained faithful. He never cursed God. As a matter of fact, he bowed down after he had shaved his head and torn his robe as he was mourning. The word says that he bowed down and worshiped God. And right here is what you and I need to do. We need to be moved from worry to worship. All of this anxiety, all of as we wrestle with God, we cry out, we see all of the wickedness on the face of the earth. Here's what we need to do right in the midst of your suffering. Right in the midst of your heartache, your brokenheartedness, whatever it is you're experiencing, this is what you need to do. Watch. You need to just bow down, humbling yourselves in the mighty presence of God, and you just need to lift your hands up and worship right where you are. It doesn't matter what you're going through. It's not too big for God. You need to worship. You've got to decide that you're going to do that, though. Preacher can't make you do it. God's not going to make you do it. He desires that you do, though. So you move from one place to another. Are you fearful of these uncertain times that you and I live in? And so as you move on through the scripture this morning, Habakkuk chapter 3, this is what God said. Habakkuk chapter 3, verse 16. Habakkuk, rather, he said, I heard and my heart pounded, my lips quivered at the sound. Decay crept into my bones and my legs trembled. This is what he was saying. He was saying, this was a great description of worry, of anxiety. That's what that was a picture of. So he was worrying right there, and he was witnessing and seeing all of these things. His eyes were being opened because God told him that he was going to show him something that he wouldn't believe unless he had witnessed it for himself. So ultimately what this was about 20 years, excuse me, about 20 years before the Babylonians came and conquered Jerusalem, destroyed the temple in 587. Before they did that, before Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego was taken into captivity, before all of that happened, it was prophesied right here. This is that time period right here. And about 20 years after God had spoken to Habakkuk, Habakkuk had cried out to God, that took place. So it was in his lifetime, and he was able to witness that, and he sees, because of your sin, because of your sin, you need to understand that God responds with judgment. The reason God responds with judgment is because his greatest desire is to draw you back to himself. God wants you to be a man and a woman and a child. He wants us to be a people who love God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. That's God's greatest desire for us. And so God was he's a teacher. He was trying to get attention. And Habakkuk saw, and he was witnessing and experiencing all of these things. and he was heartbroken over it. Thomas Jefferson, he really kind of prophesied way back when, and one of our founding fathers, and he said this. It's even inscribed in the Jefferson Memorial. It says, "In trouble, I tremble for my country when I think that God is just." Think about this. I tremble for my country when I think God is just, that his justice cannot sleep forever. Wow. Because God hates sin. He hates sin so much. Listen to me. He sent Jesus to die on the cross. That's the purpose of the sacrifice. The sacrifice, one after another, there were animals that would go and they would be sacrificed, and that blood was a testimony as they would cry out for forgiveness. Yet now, the perfect Lamb of God, Jesus Christ himself, came in the flesh. God in the flesh, he came. He stepped down out of the glories of heaven, and he went to the cross, and his blood was shed for the remission of sin. His blood was shed. It was that perfect blood. All right, so number two thing right here. B is these questions I want you to ask yourself. Will you rejoice in the Lord even in bad times? I can't answer that question for you, but what I can tell you, this is what Habakkuk began to do. This was his hymn of faith, his song of faith. In chapter 3, verse 17 and 18, Habakkuk had decided that he was going to worship, he was going to praise. It didn't matter what was looming over him. It didn't matter the forecast of the world that he lived in, the nation. It didn't matter if it was going to come a tornado or thunderstorms or earthquake or famine. None of those things mattered, because what the word says right here is verse 17. It says, "Though the fig tree may not blossom nor fruit be on the vines, though the labor of the olive may fail and the fields yield no food, though the flock may be cut off from the fold and there be no herd in the stalls, even if my barns are empty," he says. Listen to verse 18. This is it. This is the key for you. Listen, "Yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation." And let me share this with you. This is very, very interesting. In Hebrew, the word for Jesus, Savior, is Yeshua. You know that. You've heard that. And I want you to know that that's the word for salvation that Habakkuk uses right here. That's phenomenal. He says, but in verse 18, "I will joy in the God of my salvation." He says, "I will joy in the God of Yeshua." Wow. When it begins to be pieced together and you're able to see these things, that God always had a plan. There's never a time when God has not had a plan. And so right in the midst of the things that you're experiencing, this is what 1 Peter 5:7 says. It says, "Cast all your cares upon him," all your anxieties, all your worries. Bring them to him. Why? Because he cares for you. It's just a matter of you being faithful to bring them to him. And when you bring them, you understand right here, this is my limitations, and so I'm going to trust God with the rest. So you got to take it to him, and you got to trust him, and you got to allow him to take it from there. And then the last thing this morning that I submit to you is this question is, will you follow Jesus even in scary times? As you worry, there's a story about this man. He was a consummate worrier. He worried. Just say his name was Bob. And so Bob was a worrier, and he couldn't eat anything. He couldn't sleep because he was so stressed all the time over everything. "Well, my check isn't going to come until this day, so my electric bill is going to be late. I don't have any food in the cabinet. I'm about to lose this job. I'm not about to lose this position." Everything was crumbling around him, and it seemed that all he did was worry, worry, worry. And he was talking to his friend. He was sharing this thing, this trouble with his friend that he was experiencing. And right in the middle of his trouble, he had decided, something just clicked. "I'm just going to hire someone to worry for me." And so he goes out, he looks for someone to find that he can hire to worry for him. And so his friend asks him, he says, how much money are you going to pay this guy to worry for you? And he said, I'm going to pay him $100,000 a year. And the friend says, but you're not even working. You don't have $100,000 a year. He said, I'm not going to worry about it. He's going to let him worry about it. And that's how it needs to be with you and I. The things that you and I, that's out of our control, we need to stress over. We don't need to worry about it. What we need to do is we need to understand our limitations, and we need to give the rest of it to God. And so will you follow Jesus even in scary times? Friends, I believe that we live in scary times today. I believe we don't know what's going to happen at any moment. I believe we don't know when this is going to be taken away or that's going to be taken away. And we do live in troublesome times. As we live in these times, listen to me, they're also very, very exciting times. Why are they exciting, preacher? Because you and I have opportunity to tell people about Jesus more than any other time in history. And we've got the freedom still to be able to do that. And you now should take joy in us being able to do that. But this last thing, I want you to get this, is you trust Jesus even in the scary times. You've got to decide that you're going to follow him. Even in these scary times, and I'm closing, I'm wrapping up. But listen to what verse 19 says. Chapter 3, verse 19. The Lord God is my strength. This is what he said. Habakkuk. The Lord God is my strength. He will make my feet like deer's feet. And he will make me walk on my high heels. I need you to get this. This is, in closing, this is it. Are you going to follow Jesus even in scary times? And it's about your faith. It's about you moving, remember, it's about you moving from worry to worship. In verse 19, the Lord God is my strength. He will make my feet like deer's feet. And he will make me walk on the high heels. Let me paint this picture, because this is the picture that Habakkuk saw. Mountain ranges all around where Habakkuk lived. You know that. You understand kind of the history, the historical, the geographical setting of Israel, Jerusalem, the desert, the dry places. You know it was really, really hilly. You understand that. And so this picture that Habakkuk saw was about these deer on the mountains, that they would take one step, their front foot would move, they could see their front foot, but you know, the deer can't see their back feet. They were ibinks, is the name of the deer, the little small deer, mountain deer, that's over in that area. They're still there today, and this is the deer that was there, this ibinks, and it would move one foot. And I don't know if you know this, but these deer, they're, as soon as their front foot moves, their back foot moves simultaneously. And then let me tell you this, because this is very fitting for what's going on. He says this, the Lord God is my strength. Exclamation point right there. Okay, it probably has a semicolon or a period in your Bible, but I think it should end with an exclamation point. The Lord God is my strength. This is what Habakkuk said. The Lord God is my strength. I think he was excited about that. I think he wanted everyone to know, if he was talking to God, this was his declaration. The Lord God is my strength. But then he clarifies that. He says this, he will make my feet like deer's feet. And he will make me walk on the high hills. And so the mountain ranges is where these deer were scattered. They would find the nuggets of grass wherever they could. So they would walk on these high heels, and this foot would go. They could see where the front foot was going, but they had no idea where the back foot was going. But here's the picture, and this is exactly what's being spoken of. As you enter into this world, as you leave the sanctuary from hearing the word of God, let God impress this upon your heart, that you're going to follow him even in scary times. Why? Because he is your strength. And as the deer would walk, Habakkuk was saying, God is my strength, and this is the reason, because even though I don't know where my next step is going to be, God does. And so as the front foot would go to one place with the ibinks, this little deer, the back foot would go, and it would step in the exact same place the front foot stepped. That's the reason they're able to move the way they're able to move so agilely on the mountains, because the back foot goes and it's put right in the exact same foothold as the front foot stepped. And so you've got to understand, as a child of God, you've got to have faith in darkness. Faith in this dark world that you and I live in. And understand your limitations. You come right to the place wherever you are today. And let's allow our faith to move from worry to worship. And so as you enter into this day, to this the rest of this year, this month, I don't know what God has in store for you, but I'm telling you, I know who holds your future. And understand that as if God is your strength, remember what he said about God being his salvation. He said, he used the word Yeshua, which is Jesus. And as Jesus is your strength, as you make one step, listen, you walk it with God. Why? Because even when you don't understand what's coming around the bend, as long as you're stepping the steps of Jesus, your future is mapped out. Your next step is going to be on solid ground. It's going to be okay. Why? Because God is the God of all salvation. And if you really believe that, if you believe that he's the God of all salvation, then you understand that he desires to save you in this dark that you're in right now. Whatever it is, all you've got to do is turn your flashlight on. All you've got to do is turn your flashlight on. Faith in the dark. Do you have it? Are you following Jesus? If you're not, then my prayer is that today you decide that you're going to. Today you're going to begin to take those steps, knowing that each one that Jesus has walked, that you can walk with him. You can step your feet right into his footsteps. But you've got to decide that today. Are you going to trust him with every situation in your life? Will you pray with me? Father in heaven, Lord, today in the magnificent, mighty name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you for the wonder of your word. We thank you, even as we look at a book like Habakkuk, and we see that it's full of sorrow and heartache. As Habakkuk wrestles with you, Lord, we also see that you move him to a place of worry to worship. That he began to speak and to proclaim that you are the God of his salvation. In verse 19, Lord, he said that you are his strength. That even as the deer walks, Lord, you will allow his steps to be on the high heels. Father, I pray that for each one who's gathered today, Lord, that in the midst of their trials, in the midst of their tribulations, in the midst of their heartache, in the midst of their sorrow, not that they would depend on me, not that they would depend on a brother or a sister or a mother or a father. Lord, my prayer is, yes, that they would depend on those, but that their greatest trust would be in you. And so, Father, I pray that whatever decision needs to be made today would be made knowing that they're following after you. Lord, as they take their next step, maybe there's someone here who's never trusted you as their Lord and Savior. And maybe today you began to speak to their hearts and they began to realize that and begin to understand that the only way for them to be saved from the heartache and the pain and the suffering and the sorrow that they're experiencing right now is to follow you. That they would allow you to be their strength. And so, Father, my prayer is that right now in the name of Jesus that you would burden their hearts just like you burdened Habakkuk's. And, Lord, that you would change their hearts just like you did Habakkuk's. And that today they would say, just like Habakkuk did, that God is my salvation. Lord, that you would save them from their sin and self. Maybe there are those who are here who've been experiencing a time that is difficult beyond measure, brokenheartedness, one thing after another. And Father, they look around and they see their world maybe collapsing and falling apart. But Father, I pray that they would know today that their footing is firm as long as they walk with you. Father, we ask and pray these things today in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you stand this morning? Would you come? What has God laid on your heart today? You come.